Chapter 132. In the act of striking him, the torrent of his opponent's rage had reached a stop. He parried his rapid thrusts, without returning them, and called to him, with a frantic kind of terror in his face, to keep back. "Not tonight, not tonight!" apostrophe he cried. "In God's name, not tonight!" apostrophe apostrophe. Seeing that he lowered his weapon, and that he would not thrust in turn, Sir John lowered his. "Not tonight!" apostrophe apostrophe. His adversary cried. "Be warned in time." Apostrophe, "You told me it must have been in a sort of inspiration," apostrophe said Sir John, quite deliberately, though now he dropped his mask, and showed his hatred in his face, "that this was the last time. Be assured it is. Did you believe our last meeting was forgotten? Did you believe that your every word and look was not to be accounted for, and was not well remembered? Do you believe that I have waited your time, or you mine? What kind of man is he who entered, with all his sickening cant of honesty and truth, into a bond with me to prevent a marriage he affected to dislike, and when I had redeemed my part to the spirit and the letter, skulked from his, and brought the match about in his own time, to rid himself of a burden he had grown tired of, and cast a spurious luster on his house? Apostrophe apostrophe, I have acted," apostrophe cried Mr. Airedale, "with honor and in good faith. I do so now. Do not force me to renew this duel tonight." "Apostrophe, you said my wretched son, I think?" "Apostrophe apostrophe," said Sir John, with a smile. "Poor fool! The dupe of such a shallow knave, trapped into marriage by such an uncle, and by such a niece, he well deserves your pity. But he is no longer a son of mine. You are welcome to the prize your craft has made, sir." "Apostrophe, once more, apostrophe," cried his opponent, wildly stamping on the ground, "although you tear me from my better angel, I implore you not to come within the reach of my sword tonight. Oh, why were you here at all? Why have we met? Tomorrow would have cast us far apart forever." Apostrophe apostrophe, "That being the case," apostrophe returned Sir John, without the least emotion, "it is very fortunate we have met tonight. Airedale, I have always despised you, as you know, but I have given you credit for a species of brute courage. For the honor of my judgment, which I had thought a good one, I am sorry to find you a coward." Apostrophe, not another word was spoken on either side. They crossed swords, though it was now quite dusk, and attacked each other fiercely. They were well matched, and each was thoroughly skilled in the management of his weapon. After a few seconds they grew hotter and more furious, and pressing on each other inflicted, and received several slight wounds. It was directly after receiving one of these in his arm, that Mr. Airedale, making a keener thrust as he felt the warm blood spurting out, plunged his sword through his opponent's body to the hilt. Their eyes met, and were on each other as he drew it out. He put his arm about the dying man, who repulsed him, feebly, and dropped upon the turf. Raising himself upon his hands, he gazed at him for an instant, with scorn and hatred in his look, but, seeming to remember, even then, that this expression would distort his features after death, he tried to smile, and, faintly moving his right hand, as if to hide his bloody linen in his vest, fell back dead the phantom of last night. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.